This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, September 14th, 2020. I'm Caleb Brown. The FBI has a checkered history, so it would make sense if the agency taught its cadets about how to avoid the kinds of violations of Americans' rights that the agency has undertaken in its many decades of existence. Cato's Patrick Eddington says the agency just doesn't do that. We spoke last week.
I get that mistakes being made by an agency ought to be internalized by that agency. And to the extent that those were costly mistakes, they should be, everybody should say, well, this is the thing you can't do. These are the things you can't do. But I also get that you want people to be proud of what they do and happy with the organization that they work for. And so maybe you don't stress the even egregious errors of the past. What does the FBI teach its future agents about the FBI's past, in some cases, criminal past?
You know, we found out through this particular Freedom of Information Act inquiry that the FBI most definitely does everything it can to put a happy spin on the Bureau and its history and what it does on behalf of the American people and so on and so forth. And they go very light, to say the least, on past FBI abuses. And it wasn't until 2014, that then FBI Director Jim Comey actually started this extremely limited program at the FBI Academy, which really amounts to not much more than a field trip, essentially, to the Holocaust Museum and to the Martin Luther King Memorial down on the Mall here in D.C. And when you look at this particular 14-page document we got entitled Basic Field Training Course Trainee Guide, the questions that you see on there, in essence, are really the kind of thing that you would use for a high school field trip, you know, to these. They're not a serious effort. It is not a serious effort to instruct folks about just exactly how much of this stuff the Bureau has been involved in over the course of the last, you know, 100 plus years.
All right. Let's assume that the FBI is listening. And, you know, there's a good chance they are.
Always keep that in mind.
And what's the number one thing that FBI agents ought to know about the FBI's abuses of civil liberties in the past?
I think the most important thing that they really should be conveying at Quantico, and this should also be, you know, refresher training that takes place for folks in middle management, folks that are thinking about going all the way up to the chain of command, maybe to being an assistant director or possibly even the director of FBI itself. You need to have, I believe, at least a week-long course at Quantico to begin with that describes the full history of the Bureau. In other words, exactly how it came into existence and the complete list, essentially, of the major episodes that have happened. So this would, of course, include the Bureau's role in World War I, spying on folks. It would include the Palmer Raids, the post-World War I anti-communist and essentially anti-immigrant activities that they were engaged in. It would encompass the Bureau's so-called custodial detention program, where they were taking names literally and figuring out in the 5 years leading up to the outbreak of World War II, which German, Italian, and Japanese Americans they were going to round up and intern, which of course they did. And then of course there's, you know, the Bureau's very infamous COINTEL program, the counterintelligence program, which targeted not only Dr. King and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, but a range of political dissidents, folks who are accused of being communists. And of course, all of this is flowing out of the McCarthy era. This goes on, you know, for the better part of a quarter of a century. And then we get to the Church Committee and all the investigations that took place in that particular period. And I think a thorough grounding in that. And then the training should go still further forward, looking at the spying on anti-Central American interventionist activists during the Reagan administration, right on up through George W. Bush's administration and the Iraq War and all those abuses that took place then. So there's plenty that can and should be, you know, in a curricula like that, because this is a systemic problem at the Bureau. And folks, at least need to be aware of the pitfalls of this kind of stuff. And every agent and every new intelligence analyst should be made aware of it. I think the bigger problem, though, is that we need the senior-most management of the FBI to actually admit that their agency is not nearly the bright, shiny example of federal service that they make it out to be. And the only way that you can really begin to kind of correct that culture is when management embraces it. You know, this is what the Army went through in the wake of the Vietnam War. The Army had to go through a real soul-searching about how it allowed itself essentially to get suckered into Vietnam and to go along with bogus counterintelligence strategies and philosophies and so on and so forth. And it was a wrenching experience for the Army. They came out of it the better for it, at least until the advent of the Bush administration, of course, the war in Iraq. But that's the problem, I think, with almost every federal agency and department, is that there is not a proper inculcation in the actual workforce about the true history of the organization and the kind of pitfalls that employees should be on the lookout for.
Is part of that, the part of the difference between the military and U.S. intelligence agencies, that the U.S. military budget is the thing that could be at any moment on the chopping block?
There's no question that that is a motivator. I will also say, though, that, you know, there was, at least when I was, you know, enlisted in 1981, and then when I went through my own ROTC-based training in the 1980s, there was a real sense of professional responsibility and the loss thereof during the Vietnam era. And I distinctly remember, you know, getting that kind of inculcation when I was in ROTC at my university, and also when I went through my officer basic course as well. I think that as an institution, the Army oftentimes does a better job as a learning institution. Not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, still a lot of problems there. But let's remember that the Bureau is still a reflection of the late J. Edgar Hoover. I mean, his whole mantra the entire time that he was the director for that 50 years was that you never do anything to embarrass the Bureau. At least don't let it get out. And that mentality still exists. And when you have that kind of circle the wagons mentality, and that is communicated to the workforce, that's what they inculcate. And I think another important thing to understand about this problem that we've uncovered so far is that the existing FBI structure actually, in many respects, incentivizes the kinds of abuses that we talk about here in this American Conservative piece that I got published just in the last few days. And that is, when Bureau agents are told to go out and engage in these so-called assessments, and for the benefit of our audience who may not be familiar with it, an assessment is an internal FBI term and mechanism that is essentially a proto-investigation. It's where they can search commercial databases, do online searches, social media searches. They can also even run confidential human sources for purposes of looking at whether or not a particular individual or organization should be the subject of a preliminary investigation or full investigation. And just to use the Albany, New York chapter of the League of Women Voters as an example, this is a circumstance where the Albany FBI office agents were literally on a fishing expedition for alleged public corruption in the New York State Legislature. Well, they reached out to that League of Women Voters chapter, and the chapter members were like, "What are you talking about? We don't know anything about that." And they still went ahead and met with them. And the Bureau, essentially, the agents involved, you know, took copious notes about this meeting, which involved First Amendment protected, you know, legislative activities, which they had absolutely no business doing. And this was all done under the rubric of a, quote, public corruption, end quote, assessment. Well, there was no actual public corruption going on. But at the very end of this document is where they got to basically catalog what they did, right? So they were incentivized to go out and do this because statistics on how many assessments they do, how many preliminary investigations they open, how many full investigations they open, all these kinds of things are used as performance measures at the Bureau. So in essence, these kinds of fishing expeditions, these assessments, which are the things that I worry about the most in terms of potential rights violations, they are literally incentivized, you know, to do this kind of thing. And that's got to change. That's something that has to go away. The other thing that I think is noteworthy about what we've discovered so far is how the Bureau is continuing to propagate discredited theories of radicalizations, particularly among Arab or Muslim immigrants. Within the human rights and immigrant rights community. And they do this, again, by these so-called external organization liaison meetings. That's pretty much the title for it. But they wind up essentially also being a form of de facto surveillance. And in the case of the Des Moines, Iowa chapter of the U.S. Committee on Refugees and Immigrants, Omaha, Nebraska FBI agents went over there and met with them essentially to peddle this discredited theory of radicalization and effectively try to enlist those USCRI volunteers and employees in that chapter as de facto human informants in terms of, you know, taking a look at any immigrants that would be of interest to the FBI. So this is something that I think anybody who is involved essentially in civil society, where you are dealing with immigrants, refugees, and the like, you need to be very, very, very on guard against this kind of thing, because the Bureau has yet to let go of this discredited notion of radicalization and can turn around and try to utilize your organization essentially as an extension of the Bureau in terms of its intelligence gathering.
Patrick Eddington is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast anywhere you please and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.